interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, April 11 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, as always, my pleasure to be back at the Tap Room. It's a Masters Thursday. Yes, it is. And we also have more LSU basketball news. It just won't let you go. It's kind of like The Godfather 3. It just keeps pulling you back in. For the next 3 hours, I'm joined by my PIC partner in crime, the famous Clint D from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Never forget, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Here's our plan of action. I have a great guest list. I'll share it with you at the end of this segment. I had this guest list planned all day long. And then at about, 2:30, 2:45, more news breaks on Will Wade and LSU. So I feel obliged to lead there. I'll give you the latest news. I'll share a couple of quick thoughts. We'll take phone calls as well. 706-0111. And then also the latest from the 2019 Masters. We'll give you a scoreboard update before we get to our first break. Before the Will Wade LSU potential thawing out news, this morning we learned that Javonte Smart is now the fourth LSU basketball underclassman to declare for the NBA draft. Agent, no agent, we'll see. I just know that Shannon Foreman is not likely to be his agent. But Javonte Smart just finished his freshman year at a Scotlandville Magnet, a former multiple-time Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year. And he's going to join Skylar Mays, Naz Reid, and Trey Waters. And right now, water gun to my head, I think one of those guys gets taken in the 60 picks that you have in the NBA draft. And it's Naz Reid. I don't think there's a chance for Javonte Smart. Unlikely, I would think, as well for Skylar Mays, possibly for Trey Waters. So these kids are leaving, and I'm not sure that across the board they're doing so for the same reasons. For Reid, I think that was expected. For Waters, I think it was too. Whether or not he is drafted, he might have tapped out his potential at the college level as far as making his case to be an NBA player. But with Javonte Smart, I can't help but think of Reggie Bush. And maybe for you this comparison is apples to apples. Maybe it ain't. But if you know the ish is about to hit the fan, what's the one thing you could do to make sure you don't have to answer any more questions if you don't want to? And the answer, a la Reggie Bush, or maybe more accurately, Pete Carroll, same thing, USC football flavor from the last decade. The remedy for all that and more is get the hell out of Dodge. Because if you're not involved, if you're not playing in a system governed by the NC2A, you're not beholden to answer any of their questions anymore. So Javonte Smart clearing the way, I believe, for Will Wade to get back to LSU. I'm not saying that had to happen, but I don't think it can hurt. And that does lead us to the latest bombshell when it comes to Wade and LSU basketball. I'll go in here. Again, we've got time to take your phone calls. 706-0111. What we know within the last hour and a half is this. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, all over it per the usual. Wade, LSU officials have scheduled a meeting for tomorrow. Here are the particulars. It's going to end what has been a 34-day stare down at this point. March 8th is when LSU indefinitely suspended Wade. It was after the win at Florida, before the regular season finale, home versus Vandy. Feels like a lot more moons ago than that. But March 8th is when Wade was indefinitely suspended. April 12th, the two sides will meet. And you bet your backside, NCAA officials will be there. No question about it. according to Robert Munson, in the LSU brass, not just athletics, but all of LSU, this is really an obligatory step, something they were going to require from Will Wade whenever he and his counsel were ready. It's also only the first step in what is almost certainly a long road to reinstatement. And so Wade, you would imagine, his new counsel that includes but isn't limited to Stephen Thompson out of Chicago. We know that Thompson also represents Sean Miller, Bruce Pearl. This is the first step, but it will happen tomorrow. It won't be the last step. Should you expect Wade to be reinstated immediately tomorrow? Could happen. Don't know that it will. Should you expect Wade to be fired tomorrow? Could happen, but I kind of doubt that it will. Everything I witness and have been witnessing for probably the better part of the last, 2 weeks? Basically from the moment that LSU lost to Michigan State, all the forward momentum I have detected since then, and I'm sure you feel it too at the ground level, is Wade being reinstated by LSU and Wade coming back to LSU. So I'll ask a question, then I'll answer it. What is the difference between now and March the 7th, March the 8th? Way back when LSU asked Wade to come in the first time around, I detect two differences. Maybe you think there are more, but I think there are two to be certain. One is the presence of Stephen Thompson, a guy who, let's just be honest, he's averse in trying to get guys past the NCAA gatekeeper. I don't like the company that Wade is keeping at all, whatsoever. If you have to retain the same counsel needed by Sean Miller and Bruce Pearl, I think that says a good bit, but that's maybe more moral than it is legal or crossing contractual lines. But one difference in the last month and a few days is the presence of a new attorney and a guy who probably has coached Wade up to where they're comfortable taking that meeting, or more comfortable. The second difference is that Wade may not have to testify. I haven't bored you with this not so insignificant detail Monday through Wednesday on B2BS because, well, we're all pretty tired of the story. But yes, a federal prosecutor has filed a motion requesting a federal judge ban Wade and Miller from having to testify at the ongoing FBI look into college basketball corruption. And there's a growing number of people that believe that'll be granted and that Wade may not have to testify. So the two biggest differences in the last month are what I just shared with you. Now, here's my take on it. You've been listening to me for the last, really more than a month, because I've been telling you that things weren't going to be pretty. My observation is this. Those that have the power at LSU want Wade to remain, and they seem to be willing to do anything possible to achieve that. And right now, it is win, baby, win. Haven't had it like this in a decade. Haven't had it consistently like this in the better part of four decades. It's success they're not used to. It's success they want to continue. And I don't care if you agree with me or not, because to me it feels like Al Davis with less morals. Win, baby, at all costs, even if it means defaming your program, your university, and frankly, making the state of Louisiana look a little bad, maybe even a lot bad. I'm sure a lot of you don't agree with me because I have heard you, not just you calling into this show. I have been on social media often since this started. I come to the Tap Room every Thursday. I do shows at Rufino's. I'm doing things at the Beaver Club Relays. A lot of people are buzzing about this, and they like the winning on the hardwood. And that seems to be all that they want moving forward. They don't care about the cost. It blows my mind that Will Wade is likely to be reinstated by LSU, that he may be able to ride out the storm of potential probations that are handed down by the NC2A, and that, you know what, he'll be a reform man and they'll run it back on the other side of whatever the NCAA levies at LSU. But that absolutely seems to be the path this is going down. LSU wants Wade to be around. Otherwise, they'd have done something about this a long time ago. But Wade and his new attorney seem to feel good, or so it seemed, that he's not going to have to testify. And so a rabid fan base, and I think it's most rabid in Baton Rouge, I don't think there's any doubt about that, is in support of Wade coming back at any cost. Boy, I wonder about that. Not just the message it sends to the youth. I'm not trying to be that much of a purist. I understand what happens around the game. but I don't think LSU is just getting picked on because they're LSU and they weren't supposed to be good. That may be part of the reason that Christian Dawkins and company kept spilling the beans to Pat Forty, but ultimately, Wade was caught on tape when a number of these guys at this point weren't. And so it's a hard line in the sand that LSU seems to be drawing right now. And they want their guy, Wade, on their side. I don't mind telling you that I'm still surprised by it. The last couple of weeks since LSU lost to Michigan State. But it's undeniable at this point that they're going to bring him in. And that Wade, new representation, they're willing to sit down in front of NCAA officials. And I'm going to concur with what Ross Dellinger of SI.com wrote. In situations like this, don't be surprised if the NCAA officials are doing more of the question asking at the table tomorrow and moving forward. Even though Robert Munson, Joe Oliva, F. King Alexander, Virg Ausberry, whomever, even though they will be at the meeting, expect the NCAA to take the lead. They're going to have to be sufficed before anything else can change. But what a world we live in right now, because it is win, baby, win. Who cares how it happens? Who cares what dirt they may have on you? Just keep winning, baby. And that is, to me, a recipe for potential disaster. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't. We'll take your phone calls on the other side. 706-0111. I told you we had a great lineup today. Now let me share it with you. At 4:30, Hunt Palmer will be LSU baseball heavy. Tigers getting ready for a weekend set at Mizzou. Hunt Palmer tells you all about it at half past this hour. From 5 to 5:30, Jeff Horchek, KLFY mornings with Pawspot 2 and middays. He's going to sit in here at the Taproom River Ranch. With any luck, he'll bring his dog Trooper back along. You ought to come out and see both of them if you can. 5 to 5:30, we'll chat with Jeff Horchek. Straight up 6 o'clock, Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser previewing the Ragin' Cajun spring football game. And at 6:45, a Q&A replay with former Cajun, current, and maybe even future New Orleans Pelican, Elfrid Payton. He was on this morning with RP3. We got to make sure to kick that flavor in your ear on our way out today at 6:45. Busy, busy show. And why don't we do this? We'll take our first break. Went a little longer than anticipated there. I'll give you the leaderboard update from Augusta when we return. And then a Masters theme, sink or swim. There it is. Question of the day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
After 4 o'clock, right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We'll get to the phone line here momentarily. How about a quick Masters update? And you got a lot of talented golfers already in the clubhouse with their first round done. That includes Justin Harding, Adam Scott, and John Rahm all in at 3-under. They are currently in a three-way tie for first. Harding from South Africa, Scott, of course, from Australia, and Rahm, the Spaniard. They're all at 3-under, leading the tournament. You've got a host of players at 2-under. Here are some of the ones that are already done with their day. Canadian Corey Connors, American J.B. Holmes, Tiger Woods, and Ricky Fowler. Oh, yeah, the U.S. of A there. They're both at 2-under, done for the day. Also in that grouping, Kevin Na at 2-under. He's got two more holes to play so far today. Matt Kuchar, 2-under for the day. He's through 14. Ian Poulter, 2-under through 14. And Cousin Dino's pick-to-click, Bryson DeChambeau. He's at 2-under through 14 as well. Brooks Koepka, 2-under through 11. We'll keep you updated as the day goes on. But right now, a number of players shooting under par. So far, nobody has topped the 3-under mark. Let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ron, thank you for waiting. I know that you want to talk Will Wade.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call, Ben. Yeah, just more of a comment. Let's say they do reinstate Will Wade, and the next two seasons don't go as we might think they go. I don't think Joe Oliva would survive that. You know, I know they always, his job is always a hot topic, or if we get something later on down the pipe, I would assume he'll be the fall guy for all that, right?
The answer is yes, but I don't think he'll have that long to be able to figure it out. My understanding, Ron, unless I'm mistaken, I think Oliva has the rest of this academic calendar year and the next one on his contract. So whenever that ends, I think the end of June, I think Oliva has less than whatever that is, like 16, 17 months left on his contract. So I would be surprised if Oliva makes it to the next academic calendar year. He might be bought out because of this whole mess. But even if he does make it through to 2019-2020, no, hard to see him going past that.
Okay.
All right, Ron, we appreciate the call. And look, I'm acutely aware of the fact that as I speak to a lot of LSU Nation, that many of you will feel differently. I know. Just when, devil may be in the details, but we don't care about those details. I'm a protect the shield guy. If I work in that athletic administration, if I work in the overall administration, the university systems, the board of supervisors, I would have a lot of reservations about bringing Wade back. I just would. But again, I know I'm probably in the minority there, but he's done some things that I think swipe at not just the integrity of the game, because, yeah, I know, a lot of people cheating out there. But if you're LSU, your guy got caught. So I think it's a slap in the face to people who kind of have to go through the business community, people who have to go through every walk of life and walk a straight and narrow line. This guy didn't. Seems like he got caught, but we'll see. Maybe he's able to get off on a technicality. Maybe the same guy that's representing Bruce Pearl and Sean Miller are able to get him off on a technicality of sorts. Wouldn't that be something? All right, enough of that for now. I led with it. You know my thoughts. Agree or disagree. We'll have time for you later in the program. But the Masters started this morning, and it began with a really cool ceremony. I want to get to that and then ask you what you think should be next with that ceremony. I'll explain it right after the music.
Love, exciting and new.
Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player, for the foreseeable past, have always had the honors of the ceremonial opening tee shot at Augusta National. It's a great way to kickstart the Masters. It is the gentlemen start your engines portion of one of this country and really the world's prestigious sporting events. Here's your sink or swim question of the day. Both of those guys obviously getting a bit long in the tooth. Who knows how much longer they continue to serve in that capacity? Who should replace Nicklaus and Player one day for that ceremonial opening tee shot at the Masters? Think of golfers who have won the tournament before. Guys that are getting up there in age. Maybe ones that don't even compete anymore, even on the senior circuit. Who should replace Nicklaus and Player one day with that ceremonial opening tee shot at Augusta National? Think on it, then dial us up. We got time. 706-0111. CD, give me a submission, maybe two.
You know, the submission that just is popping up in the back of my head has to be, without a doubt, Tiger Woods. It definitely feels like, and you're saying one day, of course, it's going to be one day probably way further down the line, but he's definitely the first name that pops into my head of somebody that could wind up doing something like that. And I think you also got to probably wind up bringing up a guy like Fred Couples as well, who won it back in 1992. I think he could definitely be one in terms of the short-term future. Tiger Woods, obviously, a lot more long-term.
And I'm thinking a little more in terms of the guys that could actually fill this vacancy whenever it comes. I don't know what that is, 3 years, 5 years, who knows? I'm looking at Nick Faldo, and I'm thinking of Tom Watson. Guys that have won this tournament before, guys that have led the charge when it comes to Ryder Cups even. I like the idea of people who have represented the game with the class that those two have. I like your Freddie Couples submission a bunch too, and that piggybacks at least some off of what Cousin Dino told us yesterday, how beloved he is at that tournament. And that's another part of this. You not only need gentlemen and legends of the game, you need people that are beloved at Augusta National. So I got a few more that are top of mind. I don't want to steal the thunder from some of our callers. Everybody out there that loves golf, as Robin Williams used to say. Who you got here? Who should be next? Who could one day replace Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player with that ceremonial opening tee shot? I would love to see some of those guys sink their teeth in, and that's not necessarily appreciated. That's not a dig at the shark, Greg Norman. But again, like I said, we need to have some people who have won this tournament. I think that's got to be a BFOQ, right? That's got to be one of your bona fide occupational qualifications to handle the opening tee shot. So we got a couple of guys that at some point, you would imagine soon, will be on their way out. Who should come next? 706-0111. A few more minutes in this segment, we can take your submissions. Don't forget, on the other side of this break, Hunt Palmer talking LSU baseball. They were white hot up until Tuesday night. Then they got pounded by Southern. Does it really mean anything? I'll give you a hint. The answer is no. But Hunt's going to give you the latest on the pitching rotation and then what he sees as well from C.J. Willis and some of the newcomers to LSU's everyday lineup. But right now, let's take a trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Tyler has called, and he wants to talk Masters. What's up, Tyler?
What's up, Ben? It's Julio. What's going on, my man? Hey,
Julio,
I figured
man.
Something
you got,
funny.
You got nicknames everywhere, my brother.
Yeah, something funny about the Masters, I know it's not ever going to happen, but what would be funny would be you have to get Happy Gilmore to swing one with Bob Barker. I think that would be hilarious to start off. I know it's not true, typical form, but that would be pretty funny. I think something cool, though, honestly, for the next couple of years, why don't you pair Tiger, Phil with the greats while they're still alive? I think something cool with that new old Phil. I know that Tiger and Phil are going to play for a couple more years, but I think it'd be pretty cool to see old versus new, and maybe even some of the newer guys, just to have fun and watch them hit a hole together and maybe do a broadcast where they open the tee box and you have a mic with each other and just listen to the stories as the you know, as they approach the hole, and all. I think that'd be pretty cool as far as for something different for the Masters, you know?
So. That's not bad at all. Julio, I appreciate the call. That's not bad. I like the old new idea a lot. And he mentioned Phil kind of within that answer. Yeah, that'd be another really good one. Then maybe one day you could have Phil and Tiger get old together. Handling that ceremonial opening tee shot, wouldn't that be kind of hilarious? But I like the idea a lot of pairing some of these elder statesmen with a younger guy. But if you're going to go with Happy Gilmore, I think you have to probably pair him with Christopher McDonald, which of course is the actor name for Shooter McGavin. Yes, that would be high comedic value. We're coming right back in. No laughing matter. Hunt Palmer talking LSU baseball on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah. We'll get to the LSU baseball, and probably pretty quickly. But LSU basketball is just a revolving door of stories that never stops. The motor never turns off in that revolving door. I'll explain, and we'll bring in our guest. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Emmett Williams, come on down. You are the next LSU Tiger to declare for the NBA draft. Again, not sure that it's clear he is hiring an agent at this point, but I am not joking. Emmett Williams, think he's anywhere near ready for the association, has declared for the draft. And with that, well, let's head out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Our pleasure to be joined by Hunt Palmer, along with Charlie Handegriff. He's got the Outside the Box podcast, 1045ESPN.com. Hunt, have you declared yet?
Yeah, my name's Ben. I'm a URAC champion in about 2008. So, yeah, I think the Raptors are looking at me pretty intently in the second round.
I love that answer. And I'm not going to ask you to speculate on Will Wade, but what do you think is going on right now with these players? Is it really as simple as what Trey did last year? Hey, I deserve an evaluation. I may still come back. Or is there something deeper to this where everybody's trying to get out of Dodge?
Well, I think the uncertainty certainly doesn't help. And I think that it's pretty clear, based on watching LSU's team this year, that there are guys that were on this roster that are professional basketball players. And you can go through this process with an agent twice. So the thing is, for like Skylar Mays, he has no downside here. I mean, he can put his name in. If he doesn't like what he hears, he can come back. Or he can go play overseas or do whatever he wants. And then for Javonte Smart, Emmett Williams, I think there are guys that have potentially NBA careers ahead of them. So if they want to see where they stack up, they absolutely can. And if they like the information they get, they can go put them down in the draft. If they don't, they can pull it back out. So there are a lot of layers to this story, and we don't know everything. But you know, I don't think it's 100% certain that all these guys who have put their name into the draft won't be back next year. It's a process, and they have a lot of time to pull out. So the rest of the story has not been told yet, and it will be kind of over the next month here.
He is Hunt Palmer, and aside from just the podcasting glory, he got to sit in with Chris Blair, the first of a two-game set on Saturday, a doubleheader at the Box, LSU versus Texas A&M. You got to tell our listeners who heard you here on 103.7 The Game in Acadiana, you got to tell them what that experience was like for you, Hunt.
It was really an honor, and it was a thrill kind of in my life. I've dreamt of doing that since I was real little, and for Chris to give me that opportunity was fantastic. And just to call a baseball game is, like, again, something I've always wanted to do, and it was everything that I had hoped for. Obviously, wish the Tigers would have come through and gotten a win, but they made it really interesting, and it was just a treat to sit with a real pro and Chris Blair and kind of chip in, talk baseball. That's what I want to do all the time anyway, so being able to do it on the air was awesome.
It was. I got to go back and listen to some of it. Really cool, and I'm glad that you got that opportunity. Hopefully it happens again. All right, let's talk about this weekend, LSU at Mizzou. What strikes you the most about these Missouri Tigers, and where are they most formidable?
Two things. Once again, LSU will face three straight lefties in the starting rotation, all of whom are pretty good. None of them is the professional prospect that Asa Lacy was last year, and I don't know that any of them are quite as good as John Duxakis, who LSU saw last Friday, but they're good. Their ERAs are all around two, and they're left-handed, which obviously LSU has struggled with a little bit. I've kind of ran back and ran some numbers. You look at Kentucky's ace, Zach Thompson, who's left-handed. Georgia's number two man, who's left-handed. You go to Mississippi State and face Ethan Small, who's going to probably be a second-round pick, and then last week with Duxakis and Asa Lacy, who are really good left-handed pitchers. Those five games, the LSU has seen those pitchers for 30 innings. They've scored three runs and struck out 41 times. So the good news for LSU is that they've won two of those games because their pitcher's done a really good job. They've stayed in it. They've gotten those guys out of the game. None of them has thrown a pitch in the eighth inning, gotten into the bullpen and made some hay in the bullpen. And that's what LSU's got to do this weekend against these tough lefties. It's just work those pitch counts and get into the Missouri bullpen, which isn't nearly as good. The second thing that Missouri does exceptionally well is steal bases. I mean, LSU has been susceptible to that all year. Slow to the plate. Mathis, not the strongest arm in the conference. He's okay, but not the strongest arm. They've got to keep leadoff men off base, and they've got to try to use the pitch out effectively and try to limit Missouri from stealing bases because they're really good at it.
Another few moments with Hunt Palmer on Twitter, at HuntPalmer88. LSU going the way they have with the rotation for some time now. It'll be Hess on Friday, Henry on Saturday, Eric Walker on Sunday. I want to zero in a little bit on Eric Walker. He had the fantastic showing a couple weeks back at Mississippi State. Do you have any concerns whatsoever with his longevity, a year out of the game, coming back? Where do you think he is, and just how reliable will he continue to be as a Sunday guy?
I think he can be reliable as a Sunday guy. Obviously, as you mentioned, he was fantastic at Mississippi State. You know, threw nearly 100 pitches, went seven shutout innings, was sensational. And then while his outing wasn't great on Saturday last week, the command wasn't there. He walked four guys, a career high for him. The velocity was very good. He was up to 89 miles an hour, pitching at 87, 88. Earlier in mid-February, he was closer to 85. So the arm's getting stronger. He's pitching deeper into games. He's getting there. He's still not all the way back, as you saw with the command, but I think Eric Walker is a reliable third starter, and obviously in this league, that's pretty rare. I mean, teams like Ole Miss doesn't have a third starter, A&M doesn't have a third starter, Mississippi State doesn't have a third starter, Florida doesn't have a third starter. It's pretty rare in this league to have three guys you can count on. And I think Eric Walker being in the three hole is a good thing for LSU.
LSU's bullpen, Hunt, I guess your level of confidence in everybody who's coming out from the seventh inning on. I think we've already seen a little bit of a shakeup from the beginning of the season. It's not always Todd Peterson's job at the back end, but give us your assessment of the bullpen as they are just about midway through SEC play.
Well, Fun knows the back end now. He's the closer, and he's the multi-inning closer. So if LSU's got an opportunity, you know, late in a game, you know, they need five outs, Fun knows going to get all five of them, especially, you know, game one of a series or the first time LSU's trying to win a game. And he's been unbelievable. The fastball against A&M was up to 96, 97 miles an hour. The slider's really good. When he's throwing strikes, he's tough for college kids to deal with. So he's the linchpin back there. I think Mikhail Hilliard is throwing it great right now. I think Pulmonary would like to go to him in some high leverage situations. I trust, obviously, Matthew Beck. Not certain what you're going to get with Peterson day-to-day, but he's got the ability to be dominant. They've got some options down there, and I think that the bullpen looks pretty good. But to make no mistake, they need a big out late in the game. Devin Fondo's coming in.
Tigers right now 8-4, tied for first in the SEC West. The team in the division that concerns you the most, or you think has the most staying power, other than LSU, is who?
Mississippi State's the best team. I think the best team in the division. I think Mississippi State's better than LSU. Obviously, LSU went to Starkville and got 2 out of 3, and that's fantastic. But A&M's lineup is deeper, and then obviously with Ethan Small at the front end, and then JT Ginn, who's a first-round pick in the two-hole, I think those guys are really good. So I would pick them. But obviously, you saw how good A&M's 1-2 punch is. They're tough. Auburn's got a fantastic 1-2 punch as well. Tanner Burns is a fantastic arm at the front end for them. I think Arkansas is pretty good as well. The West is much better than the East. And so, you know, LSU, when they go to the East like they do the next couple of weeks with Missouri and Florida, you gotta get some wins. And that's weird to say with Florida, but right now the Gators gave up 40 runs in 3 games to Ole Miss and start a few freshmen, I think 4 freshmen in their everyday lineup. They're not the team they've been over the last decade. So LSU stepping out of the West for the next couple of weeks needs to make some hay.
Who would Hunt Palmer like to see win the 2019 Masters?
Oh, Tiger, absolutely. I'm all in on Tiger. He hit a great stage, didn't take anything, but still put himself in a great spot. I just hope he's around on Sunday because Twitter, the world's largest sports bar, turns into a free-for-all when Tiger's around. But let's hope that's the case on Sunday.
I don't know what they serve at that sports bar, but those are the drunkest patrons I've ever seen. All the time, Hunt.
It's the best.
Or the worst. It just kind of depends on your viewpoint. Hunt, you are the best, and really not a lot of debating that. Again, congrats on what you did Saturday. Hope it happens again soon, brother.
I appreciate it, Ben. Have a good one.
Hunt Palmer. He, Charlie Handegriff, they've got a podcast. You can listen to it weekly, 1045ESPN.com. And imagine that. They plugged in somebody as a color analyst who didn't used to be a former college or pro player, and it actually went really well. Huh. Imagine that. I did the color analysis with Jeff Palermo for high school basketball last year. Was told that it was some of the best they ever had, and I didn't play college basketball or pro basketball. Huh. Imagine that. And throwing shade is still 45 minutes away. Imagine that, too. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back to the Taproom River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open for this segment. We'll have Jeff Horchek. I think I tried to shorten that to Jorchek. He may not appreciate that, but Jeff will be with us at straight up 5 o'clock. Might even have his dog Trooper with him as well. We got a lot to discuss there. Tim Buckley coming aboard at straight up 6 o'clock. But your time right now. We can talk some LSU basketball. A lot going on in that world. And we can talk Masters as well. In fact, we've got a new leader, as in like right now. 706-0111. If you'd like to play along, Ka is now at 4 under, leading the Masters. Dustin Johnson, a score of others that are already in the clubhouse at 3 under, 1 back. The group in the clubhouse at 3 under includes South African Justin Harding, Aussie Adam Scott, and Spaniard John Rahm. And I will tell you this, because Cousin Dino is nothing if not a man who enjoys tooting his own horn. He just texted in about 5-10 minutes ago in the middle of the Hunt Palmer interview and said, tell Acadiana to enjoy getting rich. I've given them DeChambeau, Kepka, and Cooch. And before that last birdie by your boy, that was a grouping that was all in striking distance. Before that birdie, you had Kepka at 3 under, DeChambeau at 3-under and Cooch at 1-under. But now you've got your leader, Brooks Koepka, at 4-under. So Cousin Dino just out there pitching winners, comma, potentially. We'll see if these guys can hold it up. A long, long way to go. But Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, each at 2-under as well. So not bad conditions. I know we've heard that it was rainy on the course Tuesday, but right now supporting some men that are shooting some awfully good scores so far. Nothing outrageous. Nobody better than 4-under, but a whole lot of people under par to this juncture. You want to play along? We got time. 706-0111. Your big news of the day locally, two more LSU players today alone have declared for the draft. Javonte Smart this morning, Emmett Williams within the last 20 to 30 minutes. Both, I do believe, like Skylar Mays, will have the opportunity to return if they don't like their evaluation. Don't forget, you can go through this process once but not twice. That means Trey Waters is pod committed. He's going pro. Naz Reid has already hired an agent. He's nowhere near the university or a book. Naz Reid's going pro as well. So you're definitely losing two out of the five that have declared for the draft. We shall see with Mays, Smart, and the most recent potential defection in Emmett Williams. Are they clearing out because there's uncertainty? Decent chance of it. Will that veil of uncertainty be lifted beginning tomorrow? Maybe. But I think it's more of a first step down a fairly long path. Will Wade, LSU officials, according to Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, have scheduled a meeting for tomorrow. And yes, NCAA officials will absolutely be a part of that. As I've told you this hour, it wouldn't surprise me if they were really the lead question askers in said proceedings. And so is tomorrow alone going to be enough for Wade to be reinstated? I don't know about that. That might be a little too hasty. But I do think that's what we're heading toward. And it does speak to the fact that, well, LSU's brass, probably a lot like LSU Nation in terms of the fandom, they want Wade at the helm, even if it potentially could mean having him steer the program through some muddied waters with the potential sanction that's levied, whether it be postseason ban, scholarship reduction, some combination of both. And, hey, maybe somehow, some way, there's a Harry Houdini Act in our future, and LSU's not going to be subject to any of those types of penalties. I would doubt it. I would not bet on it. But the way things are looking right now, LSU right now doing everything they can to get Wade back into that chair. Other things happening in the world of sports. Don't look now, but the Houston Astros, well, they just keep winning. And CD, we'll let you chime in a little bit, but I made mention on the show the other day, Ryan Pressly might be one of the best middle relievers, high-end leverage guys out of the bullpen that's not a closer in all of baseball. Last night, Roberto Osuna gets a little bit of time off, and your boy Pressly, who last year Astros picked up from the Minnesota Twins, he picks up the save, and the Stros, brother, are rolling.
They really are, Ben. Six straight wins. It really shows how much a little home cooking can do a lot of good when you look at the Houston Astros. But they got a tough test this weekend against one of the best teams in baseball right now in the Seattle Mariners. This is going to be the real test for them to see if they can wind up making their hay in AL West matchups, especially with them on a little West Coast trip the next couple of days. And this is definitely a big test for them. Again, the Mariners are really, really good, especially when it comes to hitting the long ball right now.
I'm not a believer in the Mariners' long-term chances, and I might eat crow on that. If it happens that way, that's fine. But I think the Astros, obviously, you would still consider them the favorite to win out in this division. Yep, you're right. They've won six in a row. They're 8-5. But you look at last night, and I understand that Colin McHugh got the W. Yes, he passed on a lead, and yes, it was put in peril in large part by Josh James, who, by the way, didn't register a single out and found a way to give up four earned runs. That is hard to do. Colin McHugh got the dub, gave up two runs, struck out nine in six innings. So hopefully that's a measure of him heading in the right direction as a starter. But I'm still of the belief that McHugh would fit better in the bullpen. I just don't know that they have that luxury right now.
They don't have that luxury right now, Ben.
And by the way, a little Masters update. I hate to change gears here, but we just had a birdie from Ian Poulter, and now there's a tie at the top. So Brooks Koepka, Ian Poulter are both at 4-under, co-leaders of your 2019 Masters. Let's go back to where we were, though. Your thoughts on the Astros' rotation? Can they continue to have Miley McHugh. Can they get by with the guys that come after Verlander and Cole?
I think they can, Ben. I think they can. It's because I feel like you got a lot easier competition in the next couple of weeks. Definitely going to be interesting to see what they wind up doing. I'd say when it comes to, like I said, the teams like the Seattle Mariners, I know you're not necessarily sold of them. I'm not either. That's why I feel like this weekend series could be determined of how these teams wind up going, just because I've seen what the Mariners can do offensively. They're going to be the real test this weekend. That offense has been looking really good.
They're definitely a test with the way they're playing early on. And the Mariners are swinging it, no question. But down the stretch, definitely. I look for the Astros to win out there. We'll see if the Mariners remain in the wild card chase. That's a little more my expectation. I think it's a little more of their speed. Speaking of our speed, quickly, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, got about a minute left. What you got for us?
Hey, Ben, I know you press for time. So here's your starting lineup for next year, LSU basketball. You have Cody Schutz at the one. You have Jordy Hochberg at the two. You got Ben at the three. You got RP3 at the five. And CD at the four. How do you like that?
It may just come down to that, but it's not a bad lineup. If I need to play the swing man, that's something that I could do. T, we appreciate you.
Love you, man.
And look, understand this as well. The late signing period tips off on Wednesday, right? So basketball has always had what football is now in year two of, which is the split signing period. The late signing period is April 17 through May 15. And LSU is potentially going to need a lot, and I do mean a lot, of fresh blood and new bodies. They're definitely going to lose Reed and Waters. My gut tells me they'll lose one or two of the other three, between Smart, Mays, and Williams. They won't lose all three. At least one of those guys will come back. I'd probably put my money on Skylar Mays out of them, but at least one of those, if not two of those three, will come back. But after that, I'm not even sure the news is done yet, because I'll tell you, if some of the assistants leave, there's uncertainty lingering over the program. If Tony Benford leaves, that wouldn't be good. I'm here to tell you that if Greg Hire leaves, that would be even worse. Hire was the guy who was instrumental in bringing Darius Days over, so if somehow you lose Days and whoever else may be left in the cupboard, then, oh boy, could get really, really ugly. Time will tell. All right, CD, let's get it down to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Roar. And yeah, I'm like Hunt Palmer. I'm all for Tiger Woods roaring in these Masters. He doesn't have to win it. He just needs to be in it for Sunday. It moves the needle. It moves the sport forward. He's 2 under through 18 holes. He needs to keep that pace up. See if he can't get to 6 under by the end of Saturday. Tiger, we need you Sunday. We need you to roar. It's the final word of this hour. And it's brought to you by the Village Station. B2BS coming right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. It's a teeing off Masters edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, joined for the next half hour by Jeff Horchek, the award-winning Pospot 2, KLFY TV 10, does middays on that TV station as well. The famous Glenn D joins us, as he always does, from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. A brief update from Augusta National. Brooks Koepka now at 5 under, in sole possession of the lead, and in sole possession of second place, Ian Poulter at 4 under. With that, we bring in Jeff Horchek. All right, Jeff, I look around us. We've got the Masters on TV. We've got the Frozen Four hockey for college ranks right now, it's a fun time of year.
It is. There's a lot going on. You know, the weather's starting to warm up a little bit down here too, so you're getting that summer feel a little bit more. But it's not nearly as hot as it's going to be in a few months. But yeah, you're starting to. It's still a very busy time sports-wise, and baseball's kicked in. So fun time to be alive and keeping up with what's going on in the Masters. Man, what a beautiful place. It's on my bucket list, Ben. At some point, I'd like to check it out.
Of all the four majors, is this one at the top for you? And I know that we're prisoners of the moment, right? Today is the first round. But is that your favorite or anything else really kind of tickle your fancy?
Well, Kentucky Derby is definitely one, too, on my list. I'd definitely like to see that in person. But Masters definitely is up there. I'd like to see an Indy 500, too, as well at some point. There's several. I've got a list of sports events that I'd like to try to attend before I move on to the next life. We'll see. Hopefully someday we'll get there. I just hear it's very difficult to get into the Masters. You're in a lottery, and you really have to, I guess, be at the right place at the right time. But it just looks beautiful. You know, the grounds and just the history and the talent that's out there this time of year is pretty impressive.
Tiger Woods, the idea that if he's in it, the ratings go up. Okay, that's not an idea. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Can you enjoy the Masters on a Sunday if he's not a part of it? Do you enjoy the beauty of the game without its biggest star?
I can, but I totally understand why he drives the needle. I mean, he's still Tiger Woods, even though he's not dominating the course like he did years ago. He's the name. You know, he's the one that everybody wants to see. But I can still enjoy it because of the difficulty of what those guys do where they are. I mean, if you've ever played golf, and I'm not an avid golfer. I mean, I've golfed some, but I respect people who can play that game at that level because those guys are in a very small select group. It's all about once they get on the green what they can do, you know. And it's impressive to see how they handle the obstacles that course presents. And, yeah, I just really respect golfers. So I can appreciate that tournament. But, yeah, Tiger, he definitely drives the needle. He's the sexy name.
I'll get your reaction to this. I'll suggest that the most important thing that maybe has ever happened to the Masters is the advent of HD television. Now that you can see exactly how freaking pristine it is and some of the ridiculous curvature of the greens, of the fairways leading up to it, I think HD television has made people realize there's not another golf course like this in terms of the way they manicure and treat it.
No, it's unbelievable. And I've heard from people who have been, they said, you won't believe how beautiful it is to see. Even if you don't love the game of golf or know anything about golf, just to see the grounds and how immaculate they are is impressive. And, yeah, you're right. HD TV has really shown you the amount of time they take to cut the greens, the flowers, everything is just immaculate. And
it's made sports anchors and TV anchors a little more nervous, right, about their every nook and cranny. But it's great for the Masters.
No, it is. I mean, that's what I've always admired about golf. And, two, you golfers, you know, they always look sharp. They're dressed sharp. You don't see shabby-looking golfers as far as dress. You got to look a certain way.
Now that they've gotten rid of John Daly.
Right, right. Even John, though, even though he, you know, he's smoking a cigarette, and he's got his six-pack next to him, and his belly's hanging out, he still has nice polos, nice slacks, and nice visors. He still looks sharp for a country boy who can drive that ball. But you're right, John Daly, when he was here at the Louisiana Open a few years ago, got a chance to go out and see him, and what a piece of work he is. But, no, the golfers look sharp. Certain classiness to that game that you just don't see in other sports, and you have to admire, you know.
Jeff Horchek, KLFY TV 10, our guest, and he'll be with us till 5:30. Call us up whenever you're ready. 706-0111. Per the use, you're good enough to bring Trooper along. Trooper picks Saints games. He doesn't always pick the Saints because he's not a homer. He's a realist. Does he have a Masters pick, or is that asking for a little too much?
Yeah, I think it's asking a little too much. I know this is crazy, but being a dog, he loves the grass. He loves to roll around. He loves to leave his mark. I know he would go nuts on that course, and it probably wouldn't be a good thing. So you have to keep him off the course. He'd be leaving his cookies everywhere on the greens. But no, he'd be rolling around in the grass. He would love it, though. Yeah, he hasn't made a pick yet. Maybe we'll hit him up Saturday and see when we get a little closer to the final round. I hear the weather in Augusta may not be so great Sunday, so okay. We'll see how that affects the ultimate final outcome, you know.
I'll switch it over briefly to Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. I think everybody agrees that, mercifully, that marriage came to an end the other day. He didn't play in game 82. He wore the "That's All, Folks" T-shirt. You're shaking your head already, so I might not even have to say any more. Was that poor form on his part?
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I always try to be honest on this show. Loved Anthony Davis as a Pelican. Tremendous talent. Seemed like a good guy, and I don't think he's a bad guy, but his image has taken such a hit over the last second half of the season. I'm wondering if it will ever totally rebound. Now, obviously, when you go to a place and you have success and you win, people forget about a lot of things. But I just was really saddened by the way he exited New Orleans, because I don't think it had to be this way. Now, I understand he wanted to be with a winner. We all in the business world want to be with winners. If not, something's wrong upstairs. I mean, and he is a talented guy, but why did you have to rub it in people's face? I just don't see how you get what you gain from that. And then he makes the comment that he doesn't pick out his own clothes, yeah. Somebody else does. I'm like, why would you even admit that? What are you, a baby? I mean, you're a 20-some-year-old professional basketball player. If that is the case, that's fine, but why even say that? I mean, I just didn't like the way he exited. But you know what? He's going to have to land the bet he made, and that's it is what it is. Eventually, he'll end up with another team, and he'll move on. But the Pelicans, as the Hornets, when they were the Hornets, they drafted him. Those fans down there paid their hard-earned money to go watch him play, buy his jerseys, buy his bobbleheads, and then you literally flip the bird at him as you walk out like he did that fan, which that fan shouldn't have said what he did to Anthony. I'm not condoning fan screaming vulgar obscenities to athletes. It's wrong. You should, you know, but you gotta think about your future, not some clown who's drunk in the stands. And then he goes out with that's all folks shirt. I'm just like, man, why? Like, how does this help you? It doesn't help you at all. And that told me a little bit about his mentality and what he's thinking. But again, it's his life. He's going to do what he wants. I just didn't like the way he went out. But again, I'm not him, you know?
It sets him up to be the villain in the next act of this right. play. And I don't know that should be surprising, given that he seems to be stealing cues from LeBron James, mm-hmm. who literally went to Miami, had the decision, which I think he regrets deeply at this point. And the next thing you know, we see him in commercials where he's wearing all black and talking about being the villain. I don't think any of this should be a surprise. My gut tells me it might be a circuitous path for AD to get to play with LeBron in Los Angeles. I don't know that it happens right away. They're a ship without a captain right now. Magic Johnson leaves, so it's amazing. These two franchises, they're hitting the offseason, and I would make the argument that the Pels without AD could find themselves being in better shape, short-term and long-term, than the Lakers, maybe even with AD, in 2 years.
We'll see. You're right. I mean, you know, there comes a point where if somebody doesn't want to be on the ship you're on, it's time for them to go on another ship, and he clearly was ready to go, and that's fine, you know, move on. I think you see LeBron skipped out on his exit exam today, or his exit meeting, or whatever they do when they leave, and he is just absolutely, I don't know where he is right now as far as
removed from the team concept.
Well, yeah, and I'm thinking too, you lost Magic Johnson because all the backstabbing, apparently Pelinka was stabbing him in the back from what people are reading into it now, so that whole franchise is a train wreck. Dr. Buss's daughter is over her head, it sounds like, right now, because she doesn't have the upper management she needs to be able to run that team. And then you got a guy like LeBron who thinks he's an expert on everything away from basketball as well as basketball, and doesn't need to be coached, and runs all his team off. Magic doesn't want anything to do with it. I mean, it's not a good place to be right now. And it just sounds like Anthony Davis may be the only guy in the league who actually wants to play with LeBron, because nobody else wants to touch him. So it makes you wonder where Anthony is. Yeah, I that may be his team. It may be him and Anthony, and that's it. Because, you know, nobody else wants anything to do with the guy. They don't even want to be in his movies. Apparently he's acting in movies, and they're like, nah, we don't want to. So what's that tell you? You know, the NBA is a tight league. I mean, those players know each other just like MLB and the NFL. They know a lot more about their opponents than people think. So it just tells me, reading, I have no inside information, but I'm just saying, from what I'm reading on the outside, there is an attitude problem with him, and it's affecting guys wanting to play with him, management. There's a lot of issues around LeBron. Now, on the court, he's physically, he's as talented as anybody we've ever seen. But he's got a lot of other issues, and it's going to hurt him in this job that he's in right now, because he's running people off. He's not attracting people, and that's a problem to me. I'm a very relational guy, and I think in the business world, no matter what you do, whether you're digging ditches, building you know, companies, or whether you're a broadcaster, or you're a pro athlete, relationships and your ability to connect to people are huge, because you can't be successful in anything without a team. I don't care what you do, even if you're as good as he is at one sport like he is. And if you can't get the right people around you, you're not going to be successful. And he needs help to be a winner in L.A., and right now he doesn't have it.
We'll take a quick break. After this intermission, Jeff will update the 5 o'clock crowd. What's going on with LSU basketball? Namely, more defections, early entrance to the draft, but they have an opportunity to pull their name back out. I'll explain when we return. Hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch, this is week 3 of Rhythms on the River. The weather is absolutely perfect for it. Come here, get your roadie to go. and enjoy the music. But then make sure you come back because they've got free live music here from 8 until 11. It's the Tap Room River Ranch, 201 Settlers Trace Boulevard. And we are Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Everybody who's, well, really anybody, is going pro if you play LSU basketball. At least that's the way it seems. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, joined by Jeff Horchek, KLFY TV10. And let's share the news, then we'll react to it together, shall we? Joining Skylar Mays, Tremont Waters, and Naz Reid, this morning, Javonte Smart put his name in for the 2019 NBA draft. And, well, in the 4 o'clock hour of today's program, Emmett Williams did the same. Now, both will have the opportunity, from what we understand, the way their Instagram announcements read, both Williams and Smart will have the opportunity to test the waters and come back to LSU. But, wow, seems like everybody is just getting the hell out of Dodge right now. I think some of it, especially in the case of Smart, might even help Will Wade's case. The guy that's on the receiving end of the quote-unquote strong-ass offer won't have to answer any more questions to the NCAA if, after all, he's not governed by the NCAA anymore. So a lot of interesting happenings right now. And we'll bring back in Jeff Horchek. Jeff, we're talking about the LSU guys that have announced they're going pro. What's your read on that situation? I mean, some of these guys have a legit future. Naz Reid, I think, most prominently, but is this coincidence, this many players that are deciding, you know what, we're going to either get out of here or we're going to at least test the waters?
Well, I'm not surprised. I think that, you know, considering the situation, not knowing who's going to be the head coach next year, and most of these guys were recruited by Will Wade, I can't blame them. Hopefully they're getting good information. They're not getting their information from some dude that is just walking down the street. It's somebody who's credible. That they can be a first-round pick, then you go. So I can't blame them. I'm not surprised. I kind of figure this may happen because of the uncertainty with the coaching situation there. And really, can you blame those guys? I mean, I can't blame them. I mean, yeah, some of those guys probably should come back, but the reality is they don't know who's going to be coaching next year. It may be a guy that doesn't know them from Johnny Appleseed and doesn't like them, and then they're going to transfer anyway. And if they're hot now, because they did have a good season, I mean, they went to the Sweet 16. So maybe just if you're getting good information, it's always a gamble. But, you know, sometimes you got to take a gamble in life.
Almost all of those guys aren't ready for the NBA and either won't get drafted or will get drafted a lot lower than they expected. So I'm with you. I think this has a lot to do with the uncertainty. And still, we don't know yet what's going to happen with Tony Benford, who was the interim head coach. Mm-hmm. Is he going to Texas A&M? Greg Heyer, Bill Armstrong? What's going to happen with the rest of them? Time will tell. All right, with the rest of our time, let's switch it up a little bit. We've talked Masters. We've discussed what's going on with LSU basketball, Pelicans basketball, Lakers basketball. We've been all over the place so far, but I'm interested in your thoughts on Cajun spring football. Not looking for X's and O's, but just in general, you covered so many of these things throughout your years in sports. Is spring football something you think can be worthwhile from a fan standpoint, or is that just something where, you know what, they get the guys ready, they get them reps, and they get to keep them in shape?
You know, I think spring football is big. I think it is big. I mean, it gets the coaches an idea of guys that may be, you know, sometimes spring football, you find a guy that emerges for a position he didn't know, and a guy steps up and you go, man, this guy may be. And I think that's what a lot of coaches use it for. For the fans, it just looks like a glorified practice when you go to spring games and stuff like that, which basically it is. But for the coaches, a lot of times, you know, you'll be able to discover guys that are diamonds in the rough that have a chance to step up and emerge. So it's important for coaches, and I think most college coaches would admit that. And it also gets your product out there a little bit and gets the fans' juices flowing before the season actually gets going.
A couple of years ago, I witnessed something I've never seen before. Going to cover the Cajun spring game at Cajun Field, on my way up toward the press box, I noticed at the mezzanine level that there were people eating crawfish at a banquet table and watching live football. Only here in Lafayette is that possible, and it's an amazing thought. Live football. Crawfish.
No, I mean, it's Cajun country. You know, it's people down here love crawfish. It's part of the culture, and you're right. And they'll eat that any time of the year as long as it tastes good. And it's good. And hey, you know, it's I know they use that for recruits To also, you know, it's a unique culture down here, as you know. Now that you've been down here a few years, it's different here than it is in a lot of places, and it's just part of the culture. So not surprising that people will be out there watching spring football, chowing down on some mud bugs.
Has Jeff Horchek had his first batch yet in 2019?
I haven't. I'm not a huge. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'm not a huge crawfish guy. I eat crawfish, but I'm not one of these guys just going to like knock the door down to go get it. But I understand the importance too of that delicacy in this part of the country and how big it is. And this year they're saying they're pretty good size too, so that's a good thing.
You know who else isn't a big crawfish person?
Who's that?
Clint.
Really?
Clint, I'll let you again tell us your story. I know that you've got at least one parental unit that it's a non-starter for him, and so you just weren't raised a crawfish guy, even in Cajun country.
Yeah, basically, I mean, my dad is allergic to crawfish, and then my mom just, and she got tired of peeling them, so she just, it's just not her thing either. So, like, basically, both parents aren't necessarily big fans of it, but, you know, that being said, I think I'm okay with it.
Clint also doesn't drink beer, so one
yeah.
is a bed partner of the other. And so if you're not washing down your mud bugs mm-hmm. with suds, then that's probably not a party you want to go to anyway. Fair?
Makes sense, although I like beer. See, I'm different. I do like sure. beer. I'll drink it whether I have crawfish or not, but I understand how they go together. And I feel better now because Clint's a local. He grew up here, and everybody harasses me because I'm not a huge crawfish fanatic. So at least I know Clint and I have that in common, and if I'm around Clint, I'm not going to get harassed if I don't dive in and go crazy.
Or you can transfer the harassment toward Clint. So either way, there's been something ventured and potentially gained here. All right, you roll up in your home state, your native state,
I'm a Louisiana guy. You know who started this whole thing about me being from West Virginia? Gerald Grunig, okay? Because he likes to mess with me. I lived in West Virginia for 6 years. I love the state, but I'm actually born and raised in Louisiana. But I'm a huge Mountaineer fan. You know that now. So I have my West Virginia shirt on. Rough year for hoops for them, but they were young. Huggins will get them back.
It gave me a thought, and so I'll ask the question. Mm-hmm. Your favorite West Virginia football player of all time. Oh. I'm not going to give you the chance to go with Jerry West. We know the basketball
yeah.
side. Give me football.
Oh, Major Harris, man. I mean, when we moved there as a kid, that was the year he made the run for the Heisman. They played in the national championship, their only national championship appearance against Lou Holtz, the Rocket Ishmael, and Notre Dame, and lost in the Fiesta Bowl. I got so sick in my stomach when Major got hurt in that game and left, and they lost. I threw up that night watching. I had my Fiesta Bowl sweatshirt on. Never forget that. Major is still a rock star in Morgantown in that state because of what he did, putting them on that national stage. You know, had a legit shot at the Heisman. And he was Michael Vick before Michael Vick. I mean, he was. I mean, if you look back at his highlights, for the youngsters out there who are maybe listening, go on YouTube and put in Major Harris WVU and look at him. He was Michael Vick way before his time. Tremendous leader, athlete, quarterback. Never translated to the NFL because that was a different time, you know, but I think if he'd have come out pro maybe 4 or 5 years later, he would have had a better shot in the NFL, but stud quarterback. That's my favorite WVU Mountaineer of all time. Absolutely.
West bleeping Virginia. All right, before we run out of time here, tell us what's coming up tomorrow morning and then all day long on KLFY TV 10. We know it's been a busy week. Mm-hmm. This time last week, you were discussing the possibility that there may be some foul play with all the arsons that are being set to local churches. Now it seems like there's some more definition of what's happening there.
Yeah, they did arrest a 21-year-old yesterday. Who they feel is the one who set all those fires, and he happens to be the son of a St. Landry Parish Sheriff deputy, which is a new twist to the story. But they have arrested him. They arrested him last night. They had a press conference today and gave a little bit of information out, but not a lot because the investigation is still ongoing. It sounded like from what authorities said that he was the only person. They're not looking at anybody else, but they're still investigating to find out why. So there's going to be more information to come out in that, and we're going to have that for you, of course, the next few days as more information is revealed. And then just the normal news. I mean, obviously, the weekend looks pretty decent, but Chris was telling me that we're going to get some rain this weekend. They're expecting that in Augusta for the Masters Sunday. We'll be airing the final two rounds of the Masters on KLFY, so you can watch that. But it's never a slow news time. There's always something going on, so just stay tuned.
Backing up that possibility of rain locally on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I've just seen the release where Cajuns football is going to host their spring game indoors on Saturday. So
okay.
I think already they're readying for that. So imagine that. Now maybe you can eat crawfish, watch live football, and everyone can have that aroma together inside of the practice facility. Jeff, you know we appreciate this. You and Trooper, go have your fill. We're going to do another, 90 minutes of the program.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Ben. Always fun.
He's Jeff Horchek. Watch him in the mornings and midday. KLFY. TV 10. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint coming back, taking you home from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
$11 million. That's what's on the line at the 2019 Masters. Not for one player, but that is the overall purse. And I'll give you updates from Augusta National. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. And it is a colored, storied leaderboard right now when you look toward the tip top. In fact, it's one that Cousin Dino would be very proud of because the kid so far, he might just be picking winners. Brooks Koepka, still the sole leader at 5-under through 14 holes. You now have a three-way tie for second at 4-under, and all of them are still on the golf course. Ian Poulter remains at 4-under. He's on the 18th. Bryson DeChambeau at 4-under on the 17th. His playing partner, Dustin Johnson, also at 4-under, also on the 17th hole. So how about that? Three out of the four Americans, USA. Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, both guys that Cousin Dino gave you. Koepka as his top 10 pick that he thinks could win it. DeChambeau as his, I guess, relative dark horse, as it were. So, yeah, he's smiling at you right now. And you've got the four of them still on the golf course ahead of a trio of players at 3-under that are all done for the day. A group that includes Justin Harding, Adam Scott, and John Rahm, all at 3-under, all done for the first round of their tournament. So interesting start to the Masters. All right, it's time to get to a little bit of business we love tending to every single day. Time for me to remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their professional installers. You can trust them inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings while Todd takes care of the installation of your patio covers and those customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Don't look now, but one of the most storied franchises in all of American sports, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they've got just as much infighting as, well, another of the most storied franchises in professional sports, the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's the latest iteration from Steel Town. Veteran guard Ramon Foster had to take to social media to issue a PSA, kind of like the one I give you every day on Patio Center. But this one's a lot different. Ramon Foster is sick and tired of the bickering and the infighting, or even former players taking jabs at current players, like Juju Smith-Schuster and like quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. Let me read you, and bear with me for a moment. Let me read you what a veteran player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the most stable franchises ever, here's what he felt obliged to tell the world today. Quote, moving forward, any former player or affiliate of the Steelers who has an issue with anyone still in the locker room, please contact me or Marquise Pouncey or anyone else you feel you can talk to, whoever you have an issue with. We will get you their number so you can address them. All caps, I promise. These media takes might give y'all good traffic on your social media outlets, but the guys still in that locker room who y'all still know personally have to answer for those comments. Call them what you want, but call them and personally tell them. Defend who you want to defend, but you don't have to mention the team at all. Whether you have a ring or played for 1 year, enough. Chill. Most players at one point in their life want to take their kids back to the place where they once played. Don't burn too many bridges. It's a long history of brotherhood more than anything. Business is one thing, but let's keep it at a minimum for the guys who have to answer for these comments moving forward. Digest that for a moment, because when I first read it, I did a double take. A Steelers offensive lineman is having to beg teammates and former teammates, to please stop picking on us. This is amazing what's going on in sports today. The Lakers had an all-time great in Magic Johnson step down, resign his post as president of basketball operations because he wanted to spend more time on social media, at least so he said. And now the Steelers, a model of consistency, are saying, guys, can we please just keep everything in-house right now? It is a mess right now in Pittsburgh. And sometimes you got to feel fortunate that you've got the leadership you do when it comes to the New Orleans Saints. Hell, for that matter, maybe even the New Orleans Pelicans, because the Steelers, of all people, are a disaster.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher are turning over in their graves. You know, except for the whole being alive part with Cowher, it's just, it's incredible right now. Three coaches ever in the franchise's history. Three. I mean, seriously, the Cleveland Browns have had three coaches in like the last 4 years. Three ever. And the only ownership group they've ever needed is the Rooney family. But right now, they need players in-house to police social media because people are getting picked on and it's not very nice. Sometimes I love 2019. Sometimes I absolutely cannot stand it. And the kid that grew up watching a lot of Steelers football, right? 96, Steelers, Cowboys, not a bad Super Bowl. Watch Big Ben come into the league. Take the torch from Alan Michaels' favorite, Tommy Maddox. Said, well, look, won championships, right? It's one heck of a franchise. And right now, they just don't like the bulletin board material on social media. What a time to be alive, comma, I guess. All right, we're going to take our final break of the hour. When we return, time to take your phone calls at 706-0111. And then Tim Buckley schooling us on the Raging Cajuns, in particular, this Saturday spring game, which has now been moved indoors due to the threat of impending weather. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming back to the place to be, the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in from break, you're dialed in to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game each and every Thursday. Thrilled to be at the Taproom River Ranch, especially when it's a Rhythms on the River Week, just like tonight. All right, on the other side of that break, I spoke my piece on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's head out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline, and we've got somebody that wants to do the exact same thing. So, Byron, hit us with what you got.
Hey, how's it going, Ben? I tried calling about an hour ago to talk on this topic. I should have just had some patience because great minds think alike. My take on this is I understand both sides of the argument, but these athletes today need to understand to weigh their words carefully, because this hyperbole and rhetoric where they continuously, oh, this guy's racist, or these owners have an owner mentality and they treat us like slaves. Yeah, because our history books are riddled with the million-dollar paid slaves who used to bitch and complain and then end up on other plantations. Dude, you get paid $15 million a year. Your boss is mean to you. I make minimum wage. My boss is mean to me. You know what you do? You quit, you walk away, and go find something else to do or earn your money. But quit calling people racist. Quit saying they're acting like slave owners. They're acting like an employer. You are their employee. You don't like it? Sorry, man. That's how free enterprise works here in America. That's my take on that. I just want to hear your opinion. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Dicey subject in South Louisiana, right? I think we all understand that. What I would say is this. If those allegations are being lobbed at Steelers brass, then I get at least what you're saying. when they're being lobbed at Ben Roethlisberger, that's when I really think, all right, come on now, right? I mean, they haven't said slave mentality when it comes to Roethlisberger, but they keep saying owner mentality. And earlier today, I know this is where a lot of the commentary has been derived from, today at least, but I know that Rashard Mendenhall, former Pittsburgh Steeler, a guy who left the game early, an activist, a guy who helps do a lot of things in Hollywood. I know he's one of the writers for a show like Ballers on HBO, for example. Rashard Mendenhall on social media today referred to Ben Roethlisberger as a racist. So here's what I think. When these types of words, when this type of commentary are lobbed at ownership and management, then maybe, like you said, it could fall on deaf ears a little bit, or it should, Byron. But when it's being thrown at Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know that I understand that quite as much. Roethlisberger clearly has a huge ego. It's not always fun to play with the guy. In fact, a lot of his teammates can't stand him. Okay, he won't be the first or the last, but to say that he's got the owner mentality or have some of the same type of criticism for him, I just don't think it's apples to apples. So I appreciate the call. He was thinking about the Steelers and their dysfunction, the 4 o'clock hour. We got to it in our 5 o'clock hour. We got more time for your calls. Tim Buckley will be with us in about 10 minutes. Between now and then, wide open on the phone line, 706-0111. I can't tell you that we've got the same leader in the Masters, but that, well, the stakes continue to elevate. Brooks Koepka now at 6-under, your sole leader. Bryson DeChambeau at 5-under, sole possession of second. And you've now got a trio at 4-under, including a new name, a new face. That would be Phil Mickelson at 4-under, joining the ranks of Dustin Johnson and Ian Poulter. So the 2019 Masters off to a roaring start. Don't forget, Tiger Woods done for the day at 2-under. Still very much in the conversation. So you got a lot of big names right now that are up toward the tip top. A lot to digest so far on a Thursday, wouldn't you say? We let off the program with more discussion of LSU basketball, and it's a subject matter that just won't go away. Will Wade, LSU, set to meet tomorrow. And so after a 34-day stare down, I think it's fair to say that Wade and his side are blinking, if you want to look at it that way. What they're certainly doing is beginning to cooperate. Wade, LSU, and NCAA officials are going to sit down tomorrow, and that's the first step in what's almost certainly going to be a very long road toward reinstatement. These aren't my words. This is exactly what Robert Munson of LSU had to say earlier today. The first step in a long process begins tomorrow. Wade refused to meet with LSU toward the very beginning, March 7th, March 8th, that range, toward the beginning of March. So more than a month ago, these two wouldn't sit at the same table, in part because the NCAA wanted to be in on the meeting. So what are the differences? I see two. Number one, there's a new attorney present. Understand that Wade didn't ditch his previous representation. He just added to the mix with Stephen Thompson, somebody who already represents Bruce Pearl, who also represents the head coach at Arizona in Sean Miller. And so the presence of Thompson seems to be helping to thaw things out at least a little bit at this point. Also, the other difference that I could notice is that Wade, well, he may not have to testify at the federal hearings. And so that may be a reason, if that does come to fruition, that he's suddenly willing to sit down at the table. Wade, LSU, and the NC2A. Might be an opportunity to deny. And if that is the case, then, hey, don't have to say anything. Come April 22nd and beyond. And so a lot of LSU fans have wanted this for a while. I know they wanted it for the NCAA tournament run. You might get it a little bit later, but you might still get your guy back. I still am extremely dubious about that idea. And I think it's going to be hard for many to have faith in Wade moving forward. Time will tell. Wade said some time ago that there's his side of the story. He'll tell it when he can. He'll at least start telling that side of the story to LSU beginning tomorrow. As for how many of his players will remain, boy, that's a different story. Just today alone, Javonte Smart, Emmett Williams have entered the mix of players alongside Naz Reid, Tremont Waters, Skylar Mays, that have put their name in. Waters, along with Reid, are definitely gone. Those two will not be returning for different reasons. the other three at least will have their druthers at this point. They get an opportunity to really kind of get an evaluation, get feedback, and then decide to come back to LSU or not. In the case of Mays, it would be for his fourth and final season. For Smart and Williams, it would just be their second. So these are still guys very green, rough around the edges. I think even they, in their heart of hearts, would admit they're not ready for this level yet. And certainly they can't love what their draft prospects would be. So there have to be a few reasons behind this, right? One, test the waters. See where you're at. Two, and I think especially in the case of Smart, this plays in, there's an opportunity to get out of potential danger. You play for the NCAA, you can be suspended by the NCAA. Now, that didn't happen to Javonte for LSU's SEC and NCAA tournament runs, but he'll still be linked to something that could necessitate a whole lot of questioning. Could. Might not, but could. So today we learned that Javonte's at least going to see where he stands when it comes to the NBA. The other thing we know, CD, as we come down the stretch of hour two of three, we got baseball coming up, and I think a fairly important series for the Raging Cajuns. We already talked with Hunt Palmer about LSU hosting Missouri. What's your make on UL, knowing that they're going to have to take on a good team that's coming to town in USA? They just dropped not one but two midweek games. They got to get right before the Pontiff Classic on Tuesday in Metairie.
Exactly. This series is going to wind up being absolutely huge for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns this weekend. South Alabama, a team that's always been kind of the rival that the Cajuns have had in the past. Mind you, I think your Coastal Carolina and your Arkansas State could definitely lay some claim there at, based off of their performances as of late. But I think South Alabama is always going to be the more fun rivalry you see between these two teams. And I think it's going to be more interesting to see what happens in Game 1, because it feels like Game 2 and Game 3, of course, that we haven't seen the weekend rotation announced just yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Jack Burke get the start on Sunday. That is, if he's able to be 100% ready to go. I know there's been a bug going around UL lately involving a lot of the players being sick. That was a big reason why Jack Burke missed out on last weekend's start. So I feel like it's the other two games are going to be more telling of what the Cajuns wind up doing, because of the fact that I feel like the pitching in those games is a lot more solid as opposed to Friday night.
Clint, you are truly in the know. Seriously, I had no idea there's a bug going around UL, and that informs some of the sickness for the baseball team. How do you become an insider to that degree?
I don't know. I guess I'm on the Twitter too much.
I knew it. I knew that was the reason why. I hope, well, this is a morbid joke, so I got to watch it a little bit, but I hope if ever there's an important death in your family or anything that you need to know about, that it's announced somewhere other than Twitter, because I'm a little worried that you wouldn't find it. I guess that's my only point.
I would hope so, too.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that Mama and Papa Domang or anybody else know that they need to try and get in front of you somehow, because otherwise, unless they want to tweet the news to the free world, you may not find it. All right. We're done with 2 hours, and we're done with that thread. Don't really want to pick at it too much more. When we return, we'll keep talking Raging Cajuns, but we'll switch it over to the football side of things. UL, Billy Napier, spring game this Saturday. They announced about an hour ago they'll move that bad boy indoors. Who are some of the players that can take a step forward? How much has Levi Lewis already done that at the quarterback position? And what does Ron Roberts' defense look like in year two in Cajun country? We're coming right back in with that and more, including a Q&A replay interview with Alfred Payton at 6:45. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having fun. It's a Rhythms on the River night. Bumper to Bumper Sports at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to ride. It's hour three of three. Bumper to Bumper Sports taking off on 1037 The Game. Ben Love live from the Taproom River Ranch. And the famous Clint D joining me for the next hour. inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Busy hour. We'll be a little Cajuns heavy here. At the bottom of the hour, going to run a Q&A replay with former Raging Cajun basketball great Elfrid Payton, currently with the New Orleans Pelicans. Hopefully, in my opinion, things stay that way. We'll run that interview back at 6:45. But right now, we're going to start off talking Cajuns football, maybe a little baseball as well. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, still doing a great job with the Daily Advertiser. It's our friend Tim Buckley. Tim, how goes it today?
Well, I'm on with you, Ben, so it's a good day.
And it's good for me, right? We set an appointment, we both made it, and heck, with any luck, we'll both make it through Thursday. Let's start with the weather concerns Saturday. It's going to change where Billy Napier and company play the spring game.
Going to the indoor practice facility, which will be interesting because there is not a whole lot of room there, but they are going to come up with some accommodations for everybody, including fans, free and open to the public. Hopefully they don't get an announced crowd of 27,000 because they won't have room for that many, but if they get as many as they kind of are expecting, there should be room for all of them.
I want to ask you about a few players, Tim, and I'll start at quarterback. Is this a case of Levi Lewis being the leader in the clubhouse by default because nobody else qualified really is challenging him? Or, as we've heard from Napier and company, is he really showing them flashes of things that give them hope for 2019 and beyond?
Well, I think it's a case of I don't know about if a decision is the right word, but being swayed toward a decision based purely off of what was seen last season. Because I think that if they didn't feel like Levi Lewis was ready for the job, you know, late last November and then into December, the championship game and the bowl game, I think they would have gone a different direction with their recruiting and maybe brought in a grad transfer, you know, somebody who was, you know, much more experienced and ready to play right away. But instead they felt good enough about Levi Lewis that they were willing to bring in, you know, a junior college guy, Javi Magle, who didn't even play last season and still isn't fully cleared coming off of ACL surgery, and to sign, you know, two high school kids, Chandler Fields, who doesn't, you know, arrive until June, and Clifton McDowell, who's here already as an early enrollee, and to roll the dice with those three, kind of feeling comfortable about Levi. I think they would have brought in, you know, maybe different competition if they had felt otherwise, and that's why he's at this point the runaway leader in the clubhouse.
Talking Cajuns football with Tim Buckley on Twitter at TDA Raging Cajuns. Defensively, this is year two for Ron Roberts, and it looks like a lot more of his ingredients to cook with, right? They've got more kids that are coming in, many of them not here yet in terms of the class of 2019, but how do you expect them to be better? Because I'll say this, Tim. The last time I spoke with Billy Napier on this program, he said that is the area of our football team where we're going to take the biggest step forward this season is defensively. How do you think they're going to accomplish that?
Well, that's a question, a good question that I think can officially be marked as TBA. I don't think there's any obvious answer to that. I mean, maybe much more comfortable in the system year two. Perhaps that's part of it. But they lose a lot, you know, especially Corey Turner on the back end. And, you know, he was a senior last season, and now you get the news that Deuce Wallace just recently had shoulder surgery. So, you know, you would think a little bit of a concern there. And their top two defensive linemen have either been out and or, as Napier likes to say, modified, meaning not hitting all spring, and Benny Higgins and Zion Hill. So they're going to have to, you know, depend on some of the youth that they got up there. And one of the signees, a JUCO guy who, like you said, hasn't shown up yet up there on the D-line. Maybe Lorenzo McCaskill will help if, you know, he stays on the straight and narrow and They're able to get a full season out of him as opposed to last season when he had the ankle injury and then he ended up getting dismissed or, as it turns out, suspended for the latter half of the season. But still, all in all, to me, a lot of question marks still.
Tim, I think a lot of people are excited about the depth at the running back position. We know they've been without their lead guy, Trey Regis, due to an injury. Anything else you could share there on where Regis is? I don't believe it's too serious long term, but an update on Regis and then some of the other guys that are continuing to carry the load without him.
Regis not returned. They said he's on schedule coming back from his surgery, which they deemed to be not a major thing. They did scope him and do repair ligament damage, but it was not an ACL. So, you know, they had had some inkling of the possibility that he would come back late in the spring. That didn't unfold, but there doesn't seem to be any concerns at all there about, you know, whether or not he'll be able to play going forward, like they were about Elijah Mitchell around this time last year, because there was some uncertainty with him and the foot injury that he was dealing with. But he's in good shape now. Raymond Calais, apparently he's in terrific shape now. They'll get Regis back. And then, to me, the big name to keep an eye out for next season, and I don't know how they're going to be able to work him in, and if it'll be beyond special teams or maybe if they're creative with what they do with him on offense. But keep an eye out for a kid named Chris Smith. He played, technically they redshirted him last year, but he did play in games last season. So I'm telling you right now, when he, on a special teams play, ran down Appalachian State's Darrington Evans, who is really fast on a off return, he ran him down from behind and pulled him down. Everybody was like scrambling to check the number against the roster to see who that was, because it was like, wow, that kid is flying. And he really was. And so, interesting to see what they do with him. If there ends up being an injury situation, maybe move into the rotation. We'll see what happens there. But right now, they are billing Regis Mitchell and Calais as the top trio of returning running backs nationally. I haven't checked yet to see if the stats hold that out, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if it does.
Tim Buckley dropping a dime on a player to watch. All right, one more on the football side. I enjoyed your piece at the Daily Advertiser on former Acadian and Wrecking Ram Braylon Trahan. What type of role do you anticipate he could play in the secondary this year?
Oh, I think he's going to be a huge part of it if he plays even half as good as he does in the Cure Bowl in Orlando, because he was incredible in that game. In fact, he was almost the only guy they had that showed up on defense. Had an interception, he forced a fumble. He had one hit where he just creamed the Tulane quarterback, and you really noticed him out there. And Billy Napier was saying this spring, you notice that he's out there. So especially with Corey Turner being gone, I think he's going to be a big part of things. Now, there's other guys out there that are going to be competing for playing time. Percy Butler is one of them. There's a couple others. But I think Braylon Trahan and Deuce Wallace are going to be two big parts of it. And they're also cross-training the safeties. They didn't do as much of that last year. They're doing that this year. So those guys can play either spot, and some of their safeties can even play their star spot, which is basically a nickel or a third safety, or sometimes an outside linebacker, depending what package they're in. They're going to have a lot more flexibility back there. But, yeah, I think Trahan will be a really big part of it.
All right, let's end on a lone baseball note. In life after Gunnar Leje as a starter, how do you grade out what the Cajuns are doing with their weekend rotation? I know it was a huge weekend for Brandon Young last week when they took 2 out of 3 from Arkansas State. But give me an evaluation post-Leje on this rotation.
Well, it's still very much in flux. And it was last week because Jack Burke ended up getting sick, and so Brandon Young got the emergency start. There's guys, quite frankly, that are probably pitching out of position, if you will, because Leje is not on Friday night. They struggled with their Friday night replacement starter, Jacob Schultz. He's now out of the weekend starting rotation. And I just got word a few minutes ago they're going to go with Austin Perrin on Friday night. He'll be making his first Friday night start of the season. And I believe it's career. Not positive about that. I'd have to double check. But anyway, certainly first of the season. And then they're going to go with Brandon Young on Saturday. So he's now in for a second week in a row. He was in, of course, against Texas, struggled in that one, and was out of it for a while, but he's back in now. And then Jack Burke, who was sick last weekend, they hope, Tony Robichaux said to get him an inning last night. He was still too weak from his illness to do that, but he's now the scheduled Sunday starter. And I say Friday, Saturday, Sunday as if they're going to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't know if there's any guarantees of that because Saturday is such a huge question mark, whether that ends up getting the time changed on it a little bit or whether that game gets pushed to a Sunday doubleheader. We'll have to wait and see. But right now that's what it is, Perrin, Young, and Burke.
Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser giving us what we need on UL football and baseball. Heck, I'm sure before too long we might even talk a little UL basketball. After all, Bob Marlin's got to hire a new assistant with Kevin Johnson going over to Tulane. So that'll be our next conversation, Tim.
There you go, Ben.
He's the best, Tim Buckley, and he's right. I asked him how goes his day, and he said, hey, we're talking, so it's not going too bad. I know exactly what he means there. Number one, means he's alive. Number two, it means that he's not having to work some ridiculous deadline with a late-breaking story, or at least he was good enough to pardon in the midst of that toiling to talk with us. All right, when we return, an update from the Masters. Currently, there's a tie atop the leaderboard. I'll let you know exactly who is involved. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, taking you to 7 o'clock on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Rolling with more B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. At last glance, and yeah, we've got several beautiful, large HD TVs here at the Taproom River Ranch. There is a tie aboard atop the leaderboard. People having fun here at the Taproom. There's a tie atop the leaderboard at the 2019 Masters. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, both at 6-under, currently leading in the first round. And how about that? I don't even need to get the text from Cousin Dino. I know it's coming. He picked both of these guys on Spreadheads yesterday. I asked him for his pick to click as a top 10 favorite, and he said Brooks Koepka. A little more of a dark horse, and he said Bryson DeChambeau. They are tied at the top, 6-under. I know there's a mess of golfers at 4-under beneath them, at least one of which is Phil Mickelson. So, Clint, I'll put that question to you. Other than Tiger, is Phil the name that would drive the most traffic on Sunday if he's still in it?
Oh, without a doubt, I think that definitely would wind up driving a lot of traffic heading into Sunday, having him be the leader in the clubhouse. I think that would be huge. I think it's those two names are probably the biggest names that will wind up probably drawing a lot of interest because they're the old school. Sure, it'd be great to have a Rory or a Jordan be in that conversation, be towards the top of the clubhouse, heading into that final day. But I feel like Mickelson and Tiger Woods are definitely the ones that are going to be moving the needle quite a bit.
Some of the young guns on tour, and they're not quite as young now as they used to be when they were billed that way, but if you can get some of the Ricky Fowlers in there, people I think always dig what those guys bring to the table, possibly even Adam Scott, guys of that ilk and generation. But the only other thing that really gets people excited, more than some of these big names, are some of the real elder statesmen. And I don't know that it's going to be particularly possible. If you look at the leaderboard, right now you're not looking at a Freddie Couples near the tip top or some of the others. But if you could ever get one of the guys that basically has more of a chance on the senior circuit than the real circuit, and he's out there, just throwing horseshoes basically toward the pin and actually landing, sometimes that would be good. Like, I think it was Jack Nicklaus. What, he won this Masters in 1986? I believe he was 46, something like that. I don't know, man. I'm getting old. My memory used to be better. But anytime that you can get somebody who's a throwback in there, that's great. Tiger and Phil, those are miniature throwbacks, right? We don't have to go that far into our memory banks to conjure up times when these guys were not only the face of the sport, but were utterly dominant over everybody. So I'm with you. Some blasts from the past certainly could not hurt. But right now, DeChambeau, along with Koepka, both at 6 under. Some of the other names that are high up on the leaderboard, last I checked, I think they were tied with Phil Mickelson for 3rd at 4 under. Dustin Johnson and Ian Poulter, not far behind them. 3 guys that are already in the clubhouse: Justin Harding, Adam Scott, John Rahm, all at 3 under. So 2 days after a whole bunch of rain, Augusta National Golf Course yielding some pretty good scores. Good chance that continues into tomorrow, but as our good friend Jeff Horchek of KLFY told us, and he knows people that know weather, right? He works for TV stations. He knows meteorologists, and they're right like 50% of the time, so hell, that's something. Likely to rain here in Acadiana on Saturday, better chance of rain in Augusta on Sunday. Here's the point. Go for the pin. Fetch your numbers while you can, because it might get a little dicey on Sunday, so get as much clearance as possible on a Thursday, Friday, and maybe even on a Saturday. Really would be a shame, because Sunday's the day that the Masters and all major golf tournaments, Sunday's the day that they really bank on, right? That's the day they know they're going to make their nut when it comes to viewership, sponsorship, everything. And so the shame of it is if you end up drawing rain on a day like that, well, that would be just unfortunate. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Nobody wants to watch a major championship, certainly nothing as pristine as the Masters, decided on a day where weather could be a real impeding factor. All right, phone lines open for about the next 20 minutes. We can take your call, 706-0111. At 645, we're going Q&A replay. Earlier today, Raymond Parse III, RP3, sat down with former Cajuns hoop star Elfrid Payton. And I'm looking forward to bringing that back for you, because a lot of people curious. It was a tumultuous year outside looking in New Orleans. How was it being in the midst of that? What was it like playing alongside Anthony Davis? Do you want to come back? Do you think they'll bring you back? So many questions unanswered, really at large. When it comes to, well, I don't know. I was going to say Dell Demps, but whoever the hell they replace him with, right? For Gale Benson, Mickey Loomis, and the Pelicans. So much uncertainty, and absolutely, that drips down to the player level. So for a guy like Elfrid Payton, what's that been like? How do you find some kind of consistency, and do you hope that you find that staying with these New Orleans Pelicans in life after the brow, moving on from AD? So less than 20 minutes from now, I'm going to run that back for you, Elfrid Payton. On the other side of our upcoming break, we can update some of the things going on in the world of LSU basketball. Don't mind telling you. I wish this wouldn't continue to be a story, but it is. And it will persist. We thought for a while that we were heading toward maybe a doomsday of sorts, April 22nd and beyond, with the FBI's federal corruption trial. That may become a bit of a footnote to some of the other things going on right now, as LSU, Will Wade, and the NC2A have agreed to a powwow. The three are going to sit down in Baton Rouge tomorrow. So interesting development there. Plus, more players that are declaring for the 2019 NBA draft. We'll let you know which ones. We'll tell you which ones have hired agents, the others that may come back, and just why all of this continues to happen. Busy, busy Thursday. We're getting you ready for the UL spring game. We're talking LSU and UL baseball. LSU basketball just won't leave anybody's conscience as we kind of share with you there. And, of course, it's opening day at the Masters. Low scores everywhere. And, boy, they got it on just about every TV here at the Taproom River Ranch. So I'm having a blast watching it. At times, I'm trying to remember that I do need to keep talking, because I just want to sit here and watch the pristine picture and the great golf that is on display so far. And here you have it. I can give you this update before our next break. Brooks Koepka is now in the clubhouse. His round is done. and he is at 6 under. He just missed a curving 8-foot birdie putt, left it a little bit left, and so Koepka is at 6 under. He and Bryson DeChambeau tied at that mark. They're both done for the day. In fact, I think everybody's off the golf course now or just about. Koepka, DeChambeau at 6 under. Phil Mickelson, how about this? He finished the 18th on a birdie note, and so he is in sole possession of third at 5 under. And then you got a few at 4 under, a grouping that includes Dustin Johnson and Ian Poulter, last I've seen. So big, big names at the top. And Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, both at 6 under, leaders in the clubhouse, 18 holes into the championship being played at Augusta National Golf Course. Try and keep up if you can. Just a few things percolate in the world of sports locally and abroad. All right, we're going to take a break. Come right back in. Continue the conversation. Take your phone calls as well. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. Final home stretch awaits. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Less than 30 minutes till 7 o'clock at the end of our program on 103.7 The Game. The program really in full effect here in the River Ranch area. We've got rhythms going on tonight. It's week 3, the spring edition. This place was slammed at about 4:45, 5 o'clock. And then the traditional thinning of the herd occurs, although don't get me wrong, we're still about 30, 35 people deep here. But some have left, understandably, because they go to rhythms. But the great news is they always come back. Even better news, they can do so, and so can you, to live and local music with no cover charge. At the Tap Room tonight and every Thursday, listen to your favorite local artists 8 until 11 p.m. It's a Rhythms after party at the Tap Room River Ranch. And Clint, they're having one heck of a party right now at Augusta National, because I had a little time in the break to really pour into who's at the top of the leaderboard. And we haven't seen this the first round of the Masters in a long, long time. They got great television. They got great theater because the best performances came last, right before sundown over in the eastern part of Georgia. Seriously, pretty incredible. Your two leaders, Bryson DeChambeau, along with Brooks Koepka, they're both 6 under. They were both the final two golfers off the course just about. After them, you've got Phil Mickelson, sole possession of third at 5 under. Following that, tied for fourth at 4 under. Dustin Johnson and Ian Poulter get to 3 under. You've got Adam Scott. Get to 2 under, you've got Tiger Woods. I mean, just ballers, the lot of them. And so many of them, especially DeChambeau, Koepka, Poulter, Johnson, all these guys just finished their round. I mean, maybe those guys I just mentioned among the final 8 to 10 to go today on a Thursday. So great start to the Masters. Hopefully you got your Masters Tournament Challenge pick in, and we'll be awarding a winner not too long after the final on Sunday. All right, enough of that. I promised I would recap what's happening in LSU basketball, and if you haven't heard, settle in. Well, it's a fairly long story at this point. The overarching story that has an update is that Will Wade and LSU officials, they're set to end their 34-day stare down. March 8th, Wade was indefinitely suspended, refusing to meet with his employer. It happened between the Florida road game and the Vandy home game to end the regular season. Tomorrow, they're going to meet. And according to Ross Dellinger, SportsIllustratedSI.com, NCAA officials will absolutely be there. And don't be surprised if they're the ones who lead the way in questioning Wade, maybe even more so than Joe Oliva, F. King Alexander, Robert Munson, Virg Osbury, whoever is present representing LSU. And so this is the first step in what is built to be a long road toward possible reinstatement for Wade. What has changed since Wade refused to meet in early March? One, he's got a new attorney that's part of his legal team. Stephen Thompson. Two, Wade may not have to testify in the federal trial beginning April 22nd in New York. And so those factors leading Wade to finally sit down with his employer, tomorrow could be the beginning of reinstatement for Wade, and boy, what a change. That will be in the tune for the last couple of weeks. Now, the other storylines that have come to the surface today, five is now the number. Five LSU underclassmen have declared for the NBA draft. Before today, it was Waters, Reed, and Mays. After today, add Javonte Smart and Emmett Williams to the docket. Both true freshmen and part of a heralded LSU class of 2019. Smart, a freshman from Scotlandville Magnet right outside of the Baton Rouge area, hasn't yet hired an agent, and neither has Emmett Williams from the state of Florida. Both have an opportunity to test the waters, get an evaluation, and then potentially come back. Boy, we'll see how the worm turns there. My gut at this point, very early on, says that LSU definitely loses Reed and Waters. Reed has already hired an agent. Waters can't test the waters. Ha ha. Twice. He's got to go. But after that, out of Smart, Mays, and Williams, I think LSU gets one or two of those guys that come back. Two would be nice. One might be more realistic. But everybody vacating Baton Rouge right now. Still no word yet on Tony Benford to Texas A&M joining Buzz Williams' staff. It's been reported but not finalized. What's going on with Greg Heyer? What's going on with Bill Armstrong? Some of the other staffers? Time will tell, but right now we don't have any definitive definition. We just know there's a lot of upheaval and turmoil in Baton Rouge. But maybe the biggest piece of them all, Wade, could be coming back to the program in what is, to me, a bit of a shocking development over a two-week to five-week view. In the last few days, maybe it's become clear, but they'll meet tomorrow, and that will be the first step. Hey, we're having a lot of fun today at the Tap Room River Ranch, but do not forget, tomorrow we're going to kick off weekly bumper-to-bumper sports shows at Ruffino's on the River. Fired up for that. They're going to have the Angry Calamari special for all of our listeners that join us in the bar area. Ruffin will be riding shoddy the whole show, 4 to 6:30. Kevin Falk will join us at the 4 o'clock hour, and Nico Yanko with the UL Athletic Department at 5:30. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. Just want to make sure that you're there to join us. Again, that's tomorrow, live from Ruffino's on the River. A couple of baseball throws from where we are right now, 4 to 6:30 on Acadiana's Sports Station. Final break of the show. When we return, going to let you hear from Elfrid Payton. Raging Cajun. Great. And now playing with the New Orleans Pelicans, at least for now. We'll see if that continues. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
It is a good day. It has been a good day. And I kind of had a feeling as soon as I walked into the Taproom River Ranch that it would be. I'll explain. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Our thanks to Cube there for everything that he gave us, playing us in. But I walked in today, and they were playing Call Me the Breeze. Hey, we play that at the top of every hour ever on this show. So I just knew there'd be a little bit of symmetry today. I also know that we had a great interview aired this morning on Rap Game with RP3. Raymond was able to sit down with former Raging Cajun, current and hopefully future New Orleans Pelican, Elfrid Payton. So I wanted to carve out a little time to bring on Elfrid as a Q&A replay. We're going to get to that right now.
Let's get right to it, man. I want to start off with this season. I know it ends in disappointing fashion for you and your teammates, missing the playoffs, but you guys showed a lot of heart and a lot of grit down the stretch, you in particular. How proud are you of what you and your fellow teammates were able to do down the stretch when you guys were undermanned?
Super proud of those young guys that came and stepped up. Honestly, all of us, you know, it could have been very easy for us to just fold it in and pack it in for the rest of the season and, you know, just chalk this one up. But I think everybody did a good job of continuing to try to get better each game, and I think it shows.
and talk about stepping up. You did that yourself, man. Let's talk, though. You start off, you have the triple-double to start the season, and then you get banged up. You sprain your ankle. You miss a considerable amount of time. Then you come back, and then you fracture your finger. How did you not get frustrated with spending more than 20 games on the bench due to injuries, man? How did you allow yourself not to get frustrated?
I'm big in my faith. You know, I trust the Lord. And, you know, I know everything happened for a reason. So, I guess he was just trying to sit me down and show me some things. I think being at home definitely helped that, you know, being able to see my family and friends, you know, every day helped me get through that. Because I've never missed that many games ever in my career. So it was tough for me at first. But, you know, just try to control what I control, continue to work on my game as much as I could. And then so when I got back, I was ready to play.
And when you did come back, you were definitely ready to play there, Elford. You had a streak of 5 consecutive triple-doubles where you tied, and that ended up tying the franchise record for most triple-doubles in the season with Chris Paul, who set the mark a little more than a decade ago. You also became only the 5th player in NBA history to have 5 consecutive triple-doubles, a list that includes the likes of Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain and Russell Westbrook. Walk me back through that, man. When you're in the zone in that 5 consecutive triple-double streak, what's going through your mind? Was your preparation any different? Was your mindset different when you were in the games?
Honestly, no, man. Just continue to try and play at a high level, try and play as hard as I possibly can. And, you know, I just think when you prepare like you're supposed to, you know, great things can happen. I just want to always say thanks to my teammates, man, because throughout that time, man, those guys were knocking down shots. They were playing at a high level as well. I don't get those assists if they're not making shots. So, you know, just trying to play, just trying to help. You know, like we said, we was a little undermanned at the time. Just trying to go out there and help as much as possible, man.
We're talking with former Raging Cajun star and current New Orleans Pelicans star, Elford Payton. Elford, I want to talk a little bit about the relationship and the dynamic that you and Drew Holiday had. I know you guys weren't on the court as much as you'd like because of the injuries, first with you and then obviously with him later to end the season. But you guys did have a very good back and forth on the court. How long did it take you to get that rapport down with Drew? And how easy was that for you guys to play on the court together, you manning the one and him being on the two?
Super easy. It's super easy. For one, anybody that plays defense is easy to get along with on the court.
Yeah.
But Drew is a very, very unselfish person, let alone player. So it was easy for us to, you know, kind of find, you know, find ways to play with each other, things like that. With him being able to handle the ball, I'm able to handle the ball. He likes playing the two more, you know, which is cool for me. But it was easy, man. He's a great player. He's very underrated. I enjoyed our time together.
Elford, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the season. Expectations were pretty high. I mean, they brought you in to essentially kind of fill that role that Rajon Rondo had last year when the team made the march to the postseason and upset Portland in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. And you guys started off strong. Terrific start to the season. And then injuries piled up on you guys. You guys did some struggles, and then everything that happened with the AD situation. How did you, as a veteran guy now, you've been in the league long enough, you know, how did you kind of help this team block out all that noise and be able to just kind of focus in on basketball when there was so much national media spotlight and everything like that?
Well, you know, my thing has always been control what you can control, and that's something I try to preach to the young guys. It's a business. It's a business. And, you know, like nobody on our team, and I can almost vouch for this, no one was ever upset with what AD did. So the whole thing with us was like we going out and play. Like he's not saying anything negative towards us. You know what I'm saying? And despite what's been said in the media, he has been totally positive with us. So that made our job a lot easier. It was no awkwardness there. And I just try to tell the guys, man, you are your own man. You know, you have to go out there and compete for yourself.
you know, so I think that made it easier.
Alfred, let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned it earlier about, you know, being so close to home and how that made things easier, especially when you were banged up and you had the injuries. What was that like, though, for you, you know, after spending the beginning part of your professional career in Orlando and then in Phoenix, to be able to play home and be able to be that close to home there, you know, just to be able to play kind of in your hometown and have your friends and family there at the arena night in and night out? What did that mean to you this year?
That meant a lot. It meant a lot, and I think I underestimated how much it would mean to me. But it's definitely a boost when you know, when you look up in the stands and you see your mom, see your dad, see your sister, nieces, nephews, you know, family, friends, night in and night out, it's just different. I encourage everybody to have the opportunity to play at home to do it. It's very fulfilling.
Alfred, you definitely showed with your ability on the court when you were healthy this year how dynamic of a playmaker you can be for this franchise. I know you've expressed how much you enjoyed playing for your hometown team. Do you want to come back and be a member of the New Orleans Pelicans, and how excited are you to try to make that happen?
I do, and I'm very excited. Obviously, there's a lot of unanswered questions around here as far as moving forward, the direction of the team, but I definitely want to be back. I enjoyed my time here. I think it was a nice fit. I think we've seen what we can do when healthy. When we had a full roster. I mean, even some of the wins that we got when we didn't have a full roster just shows the amount of talent that we have here. So I would love to be back.
Alfred, I want to talk about your time back with the Raging Cajuns. I know how much that school means to you and how much they still revere you, and the fan base does for sure. But I know this past summer, talking to Marcus Stroman, who just wrapped up his senior season there with the Raging Cajuns, that he got to spend some time working out with you during the summer, and he told me, man, he told me how you made him, how he realized how not in shape he was, truly was, to be able to play at that next level, and how he learned a lot working with you. How did that come to be, man, and why did you feel compelled to make some time for a current Raging Cajun player like that?
Well, anytime I can help, you know, I'm always willing to help. If I have a chance, I'm going to do it. You know, I still have ties there. And I just heard Kevin Johnson, he just takes me this morning and said he took the two-lane job, I believe. I'm not sure if something like that, but anytime those guys you know, need anything or reach out, you know, I'm always going to help. So how it came about was, you know, KJ, who spent a lot of time in New Orleans, said that he had somebody he wanted me to work out with, you know, just show him like what it takes. And I talked to him about being a leader, talking about, you know, what it takes to win, you know, at that level. And at the time I was in town, so I said, let's do it. So he drove down and got in the gym a little bit, and we
were able
to spend some time together.
And, Alfred, we'll wrap it up with this, man. What do you remember most of your time? I mean, you guys accomplished so much during your time there for Bob Marlin. And, you know, you end your career a two-time All-Sunbelt player. You won the Lefty Drezel Award, like I said, and then you were the Sunbelt Defensive Player of the Year, and you helped the Cajuns to the NCAA tournament. When you look back now, how fond of the memories are for your time as a Raging Cajun?
Man, it's great. It was great. And, you know, honestly, like, even some of the memories that, like, I was thinking about, like, just remember being down, you know, having a rough year, losing to, you know, Middle Tennessee in that conference tournament, hot tennis, and just remembering that feeling and how much that fueled me. To come back then next year even better. The runs we had in the Sun Belt my junior year and being able to win the conference championship at home in New Orleans is like another game.
Well, Alfred, man, I know you're busy packing up and getting ready for the off season, man. I want to thank you for taking some time out for us here on the show, and looking forward to you hopefully re-signing and staying here inside the state, man, and with your hometown team and being a Pelican in the near future, and we'll be in touch.
All right, man. Thank you,
brother. Running it back with a former Raging Cajun. Our thanks to the usage of that interview with Alfred Payton. I guess we'll have to pay a little copyright fee there, maybe, to RP3. I don't know. Time will tell. Busy, busy show today. Of course, we discussed the latest with Will Wade, Javonte Smart, everything happening with LSU basketball. It's an ever-changing landscape. After a quiet early portion of this week, a lot of fireworks on a Thursday. Expect some more, potentially, as early as tomorrow. But our guests, they were phenomenal as well. Shout out to Hunt Palmer, talking LSU hoops and mainly baseball. In the 4 o'clock hour, Jeff Horchek, Pospot 2 and Middays for KLFY TV 10. He comes in live. He brings Trooper the dog. He's a trooper himself. And then Tim Buckley with the Daily Advertiser, helping us to preview the Raging Cajun spring game on Saturday. Tim was with us at the top of this hour. Again, our thanks to everybody here at the Taproom River Ranch. It's been a packed house most of the show today. It'll be a madhouse later tonight, but the good kind. Come get all up in it. Be a part of it. Post Rhythms on the River, this is the place to be. They've got live music from 8 until 11. So, again, salute and our thanks to the Taproom River Ranch. For the famous Clint D., my name is Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.